for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Shalom to our broadcast friends. I'm John Lawrence with the International Board of Jewish Missions. Our purpose is to reach Jewish people with the glorious gospel message of Jesus the Messiah. One of the ways that we do that is through training other people at the Garten House Training Center. There's no time like a new year to share that ministry of training, which I have the privilege of directing here. Our purpose there is to train missionaries for the work, but also to train pastors and church members for a ministry in Jewish evangelism. Workers are needed everywhere to reach out to Jewish people. There are people all around us who need to be reached with the gospel message, and many of them are Jewish. At the Garten House Training Center here, we have many opportunities for interested and burdened people to be prepared for Jewish evangelism. We sponsor a Holocaust Education Day in March of every year, as it is very important to understand the impact of the Holocaust on Jewish people even today. It casts a very large shadow on their lives. We sponsor an annual banquet where we highlight a certain aspect of our ministry every year, usually in the month of May. We sponsor one-day Jewish evangelism seminars for Bible college groups, and we also take that program out into churches. Maybe your pastor would be interested in such a program in your church. Pastors, one of our representatives could bring that program there to your church. In the summer, we have training days for our mission trips. These teams come to our center here in Hickson, Tennessee, and we prepare them for several days before they leave for the mission field, usually for a trip of 10 or 12 days. A team is headed to New York City and another to Kharkov, Ukraine this year in 2014. Our four-day focus on Jewish missions is the highlight of our training year, held in June. This year it happens to be the 23rd through the 26th. It involves 4 days of intensive training for the work of Jewish evangelism. And it is also designed to help people explore, perhaps discern, a call from the Lord into Jewish missions. We have many needy fields where full-time workers are needed. Sometimes I talk about those on this program. The focus includes an advanced track for those who attend a second time, where you'll get even more information about Jewish evangelism. We will also talk about the content of the four-day focus on a full radio program later this year as we approach the time for that to happen. We also sponsor an intensive French language training program here for missionaries going to French-speaking countries. But others desiring to learn French for ministry purposes are also welcome. That might be students, Bible college students, or Christian school teachers, for example. That program operates for 6 weeks, twice each year, and begins during the month of January of 2014. These are just a few highlights of our training ministry to help people in local churches reach Jewish contacts for Christ. It's important that everyone have a burden to reach out to whoever the Lord might put on our path. And often we meet Jewish people, perhaps we don't always recognize it, and we might have an opportunity to witness to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are located here in Hickson, Tennessee. You can give us a call here at area code 423-876-8150. If you would like more information on any of these programs, or perhaps a brochure on some of the programs, we have a brochure on the four-day focus, and we have brochures on each of our mission trips. Further information about our Ministry of Education to prepare others for the work of sharing Jesus the Messiah with God's chosen people is available by calling that number. Ask for Glenda, and she can send you the brochure that you might like to have. Now, let's listen to our Jewish friend, Brother Mark Oshman, as he brings today's Bible message.
Thank you for joining us for our radio Bible study. This is part 4 of a 5-part series on the book of Revelation. We begin our look at this book beginning with the 17th chapter. An angel took John into the wilderness, where the apostle saw a woman clothed in purple and scarlet, arrayed with precious jewels. She carried in her hand a cup full of abominations and filthiness, from which the inhabitants of the earth had imbibed. The following words appeared on her forehead, quote, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth," unquote. This woman had imbibed the blood of those killed due to their testimonies in Jesus Christ. The angel with John called the woman, quote, "the great whore that sitteth upon many waters," unquote. The woman rode upon a scarlet-colored animal that had 7 heads and 10 horns, and contained names of blasphemy. Many waters flowed underneath where the woman sat. John heard an angel identify these figures. The beast corresponded to that creature which emerged from the bottomless pit, the same one which had killed God's 2 witnesses. The event being recorded in Revelation chapter 11. Here was a phrase relating to that beast, quote, "that was and is not and yet is," unquote. A phrase that might suggest that this creature had become transformed from death unto life. Perhaps the beast in Revelation 17 was the same beast that came from the sea, mentioned earlier in Revelation chapter 13. The latter beast had experienced a deadly head wound, but was healed. Since the latter beast received power from the devil, the beast in Revelation chapter 17 could well represent the Antichrist himself. The angel who was with John continued his exposition. The 7 heads on the beast depicted 7 mountains upon which the women sat. Some commentators have posited that this description fit the city of Rome, which was built on 7 hills, and that it referred to the Roman Catholic Church, with its headquarters in Rome at Vatican City. Yet this interpretation might also allude to a future city possessing these specifications. The angel later referred to the site as, quote, "that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth," unquote. The angel also spoke about the 7 kings and 10 horns. 5 of those kings had reigned. 1 continued ruling at that time, and a future king would exercise sovereignty. The beast that had been mentioned earlier came from the latter group, but remained separate from it. John also learned that the 10 horns represented 10 future kings, who would temporarily exercise power in conjunction with that beast. However, they will turn against the woman and injure her. Though this confederacy of infernal and earthly powers will join together and wage war against Jesus Christ, he will defeat them. The waters John saw represented multitudes and nations and tongues. The context of the statement implied that the group portrayed unsaved Gentiles. Revelation chapter 18 began with another angelic pronouncement. Quote, "Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird," unquote. God exhorted his people to come out of Babylon, to refuse to partake of her sins, or they would partake in her judgments. As recorded in the 50th chapter of Jeremiah, God had wanted the Jews to remove out of the midst of Babylon, that is the literal Babylon, and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans. That warning echoed another one that God later issued in the 2nd chapter of the book of Zechariah. Quote, "Deliver thyself, O Zion, thou dwellest with the daughter of Babylon," unquote. Why did God want his people to leave Babylon? God declared that he would judge Babylon for her widespread spiritual infidelity, referred to in the Bible as fornication. God would replace her pride and replace Babylon's boasting with torment and sorrow. A brief exposition of the term Babylon might shed insight as to how John used it when writing the book of Revelation. Some people employed the meaning of that name to indicate a powerful, large location of people, a government riddled with corruption and abounding with immorality. The historical Babylon came to prominence around BC 600, when it separated itself from the Assyrian Empire. Babylon had a reputation for excelling in splendor. In the 13th chapter of Isaiah, the prophet described Babylon as, quote, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, unquote. Nonetheless, Babylon served as a hub for idolatry. In Isaiah chapter 21, a divinely appointed watchman cried out, quote, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her God he hath broken unto the ground, unquote. Astrology, namely the study of the positions of the celestial body, as a way of predicting future events. The practice of astrology played a prominent role in Babylon. The Jews suffered during their captivity in Babylon. This is something that the 137th Psalm took particular note of. The Babylonians kept mocking the Jewish expatriates, saying, quote, sing us one of the songs of Zion, unquote. The author of that song, Psalm 137, the author of that song wanted God to deal with the Babylonians in the same way that they had dealt with others, that is, violently. God destroyed the Old Testament city of Babylon, an event recorded in the 5th chapter of Daniel. In Jeremiah chapter 51, God had previously declared that, quote, Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment and an hissing, without an inhabitant, unquote. Just as God had destroyed the previous Babylon, God will destroy the Babylon of the end times. The rulers in Revelation who allied with Babylon mourned over her downfall. In addition, the merchants who transacted business with Babylon stood far away from her, bemoaning their loss of commerce. John then saw a mighty angel cast the stone into the sea, signifying the violence with which God would cast down Babylon. The fallen city will have no more musicians, no more craftsmen, no more celebrations. She will suffer her just deserts since, quote, in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that was slain upon the earth, unquote. In Revelation chapter 19, God heard those in heaven praise God for his righteous judgments on Babylon. He heard another proclamation as well, quote, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and her wife hath made herself ready. Unquote. The wife of the Lamb depicted those individuals who received Jesus Christ as Savior. As the bride of Christ, the wife of the Lamb wore fine linen, denoting the righteousness of the saints. An angel further directed John to write these words, quote, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb, unquote. John fell to his knees as though to worship this angel. However, the messenger forbade him from doing so, explaining that he was merely John's co-laborer. He told the apostle to worship God instead, saying, quote, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, unquote. At this juncture, John beheld another magnificent sight, quote, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, unquote. Armies followed this leader riding white horses, also clothed in fine linen. The rider on the white horse carried a sharp sword with him, a token of judgment. He had a title written upon his forehead and upon his clothing, quote, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The rider on the white horse and his armies defeated the beast and his armies. God took the beast and the false prophet, casting them into a lake burning with fire and brimstone. We've come to the end of this part of our study of Revelation. Please come back for the next and final segment of our look at this particularly important book.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.